Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday, May 2nd, 2015, and this is show number 4.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, not talking to you.
And God Thoughts Radio is on the air, and I'm Pastor Brad, and I want to start with a question for you. Hey, what is one of your favorite names for Jesus? I'm curious. Think about that. Among the many names of Jesus, in fact, there are tens and tens of them found in the Bible. What's your favorite one? I came up with a list myself, just a random list of about 20. Tell me if I hit the same ones that are on your list. Jesus is the light. He's the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. In fact, he is the bread of life. From Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is wonderful, counselor, mighty God, eternal Father, Prince of Peace. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I hope you recognize some of those names. I want to direct your attention, though, to a challenge that we all have in this day and age, the age in which God calls it delusion, the age of strong delusion, because in this day, the Bible warns that false Christs will arise. And I want to tell you about a false Christ that has arisen in the church at large today that is deceiving many, many people. It is a false Christ that never offends anyone. It is a false Christ that speaks positive words only. A false Jesus that never confronts anyone about anything. He does not convict of sin. In fact, this false Christ rarely even calls sin sin. And this false Jesus never talks about hell. This Jesus is worshipped in many of the biggest churches in America. And the only problem is this Jesus is a false Christ, and false Christs cannot save. And so I want to talk to you about a name for Jesus that is seldom known in the body of Christ. And yet, in my opinion, it is one of the most important names for Jesus that you or I can be aware of. And it is Jesus, the Rock of Offense. The Greek word that is translated offense for us is scandalon. You may recognize that. It's where we get the English word for scandal. But it means offense, snare, stumbling block. Did you know that in Galatians 5:11, the Bible calls the cross of Christ scandalon, offensive to those who do not believe? Let me give you a couple of places where we find this name for Jesus, Rock of Offense. Take you first of all to Romans 9:33. Says, just as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." Then again in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, we read, "This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed." You know, Jesus said in Luke 7:23, "How blessed is he that keeps from stumbling over me." You know, sadly, I can just hear somebody out there saying, "You know what, Pastor? My Jesus does not offend. My Jesus never offends." Well, dear brother or sister, I want to say gently but firmly to you, then your Jesus is a false Christ. And you're worshiping a Jesus that is a figment of your own imagination, and you believe in a Jesus that cannot save you. In fact, let me ask you, Does your pastor talk about grace? Well, then praise the Lord. Does he talk about mercy? I'm so thankful for that. Does he tell you about forgiveness? I bet he does, and it's one of the glories of the biblical Jesus. But I ask you again, does your preacher ever tell you about the justice of God? Does he ever speak to you about the repentance that is required for salvation? Does he ever tell you about the judgment of Jesus or his condemnation? And you say, wait a minute, condemnation? No, 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 I know Romans 8:1. It says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's true. It's very true. But please note the conditional nature of that statement. It's true, there is no condemnation, but only for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you aware of John 3:16? I bet you are, but how about John 3:17 and following? Let me read it for you. Whoever believes will in him have eternal life. That's the end of verse 15. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge or condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged or condemned, but he who does not believe has been condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, or this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. That was John 3:15 through 19. Again, Jesus said, how blessed is he who does not take offense at me. Jesus, rock of offense. Let me take you through some of the scripture, just a potpourri of some of the ways that Jesus is expressed as a rock of offense. I want to tell you that this rock of offense absolutely applies to the family. In Luke 12:51 through 53, we read, do you suppose that I came to grant peace on the earth? Of course, this is Jesus talking. I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They'll be divided, father and son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Are you tracking with me now? Do you see how easily someone might be offended by that, especially those of you that love your family so dearly? Indeed, Jesus is a rock of offense, not only to family, but even to his closest friends. I'm reading now from Mark 8:33. Jesus, turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's. Are you kidding me? Can you imagine hanging out with Jesus, wanting to encourage him, and Jesus looks you in the eye and says, get behind me, Satan? What kind of a friend would say that? But Jesus did say that. Jesus was a rock of offense to the politicians. Consider the following from Luke 23:8-12. Now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he'd been hearing about him, was hoping to see some signs performed by him. And he questioned him at some length, but Jesus answered him nothing. The chief priests and scribes were standing there accusing him vehemently, and Herod with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressing him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. Now Herod and Pilate became friends with one another that very day, for before they had been enemies with each other. Isn't that interesting that Pilate's experience with Jesus was so offensive that his enemy Herod now became his friend? I'm telling you that Jesus was a rock of offense to his fellow countrymen. Consider John 8:44. The context I'm reading from is John 8:31 through 59. But he's saying to his fellow Jews, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a father, or rather he is a liar and the father of lies. Can you imagine that? Jesus says to his fellow countrymen, you are of your father, the devil. You're the offspring of the devil. Do you see how Jesus was a rock of offense. I'm telling you, he was a rock of offense to the religious leaders. He said in Matthew 23:1-32, I'll just give you a tidbit. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, blind guides. You're like whitewashed tombs, which are on the outside appear beautiful, but inside you're full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. My goodness. Honestly, these examples are just the tip of the iceberg. Consider what Jesus said in Luke 11:43-45, again to the Pharisees. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you're like concealed tombs, and the people who walk over them are unaware of it. One of the lawyers, verse 45, said to him in reply, Teacher, when you say this, you insult us too. You see what happened sometimes when Jesus would be speaking to the religious leaders and he knew they were hypocrites? They took the words of Jesus as an insult. Luke 16:14-15, again to the Pharisees, you lovers of money, listening to all these things, they were scoffing at him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time your pastor, when was the last time your preacher who claims to represent Jesus gave you a sermon on the things that are highly esteemed among men are detestable in the sight of God? I'm curious. And then how about Mark 7:6-8, where Jesus said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandments of God. You hold to the traditions of men. Brothers and sisters, at times Jesus and his words were so offensive that we read in John 6:66. That's right, John 6:66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So the question really is why, right? Why is Jesus the rock of offense? He came to seek and to save the lost. Why was he so apt to say things that would be offensive to so many? Well, let's remember that Jesus so loved the world that he looked down upon us, a world of bondage, and he was committed to setting us free. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. And we are reminded that the only way we as human beings can become free from our bondage is through the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, we put two and two together and we realize that, yes, Jesus loved the world so much that he was willing to risk offense by bringing a truth that would make men free. So for the duration of the time, I want to talk about the church today. I want to talk about Jesus as the rock of offense to the church. Because when Jesus speaks to the church, he is expecting that the body of Christ will represent him, not only to each other, but to the world. And in Revelation 2:4-6, consider what Jesus said to the church at Ephesus. He said, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deed you did at first. Or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of your place unless you repent. Stop right there. Are you kidding me? Jesus is saying, I will close you down if you don't repent. How many of your churches would allow your pastor to say something like that? One final statement in verse 6, he says, yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? He's straight up saying, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Again, how many of your churches would allow your pastor to say something negative about another cult like Jesus did here in Revelation 2:6? To the church of Smyrna, Jesus said, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are of the Jews but are not, but they are a synagogue of Satan. Oh, my goodness. Jesus is calling the hypocrites a synagogue of Satan. I'm reading to you from Revelation 2, verse 9. This is Jesus, the rock of offense. He hates compromise in the church. And then to the church of Thyatira, Revelation 2, 19 through 23, Jesus said, I know your deeds and your love and your faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent. She does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her in great tribulation, lest they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children. What? Jesus says, I will kill her children with pestilence. All the churches will know. So all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to his deeds. Let's reflect on this, brothers and sisters. Jesus is against the church that tolerates the false prophets. Jesus is against the church that tolerates false teaching in all of its forms. And Jesus himself said, if you're not careful, I'll send calamity upon you in the form of a bed of sickness. He says, unless you repent, I will kill her children with pestilence. Why? So that all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts and will give to each one according to his deeds. To the church at Sardis in Revelation 3, 1 and 2, Jesus says, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Brothers and sisters, it is time for the church to wake up. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the true Jesus, the biblical Jesus, is saying to your church and to my church, saying to me and to you, wake up. So many of us have a church whose name says we're alive, but we are dead. Jesus, like the church of Laodicea, is on the outside. Looking in, we profess to know Jesus, but by our deeds, we deny him. And then finally, in Revelation 3, 15 through 17, to the church of Laodicea, Jesus said this, I know your deeds, you're neither cold or hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, but you don't know. You're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Dear listener, did you know that this is the Jesus of the Bible? The same Jesus who is so for your grace, so for your mercy, so for your forgiveness. This is the same Jesus. So let's be reminded again, why? Why so hardcore? Why the rock of offense? Well, let me tell you straight up. The reason why is because today people will die and go to hell. Let that sink in. Today, like yesterday and like tomorrow, people are going to die eternally separated from God. And this is why, in addition, this Jesus of grace and mercy and forgiveness talked about hell out of the depth of his love for people. Consider Matthew 8. 1 through 8. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and said before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you're converted and become like children, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it'd be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks will come, but woe to the man through whom that stumbling block comes. Or, in other words, woe to the church who compromises and as a result becomes a stumbling block to the world. Verse 8, if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, Jesus said, cut it off, throw it from you. It's better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be cast into the eternal fire. Matthew 25:41, then he, Jesus, will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. In Matthew 25:46, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Of course Jesus would be so hardcore. Of course Jesus risks offense because he's so deeply in love with all people. The Bible says he is patient with us, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Let me read one more reference among many others that I'm not reading today. Revelation 21, verse 6 through 8. Then he said to me, that is Jesus, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the springs of water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want to ask you, when was the last time you heard your pastor talk about hell? Let me speak to you preachers out there. First of all, preacher, if you claim to represent Jesus, but you don't talk about hell, you're not representing the biblical Jesus. You're representing a false Christ of your own imagination. Secondly, if you claim to be all about love, preacher, but don't talk about hell and eternal judgment, let me ask you, what kind of love doesn't warn people of impending damnation and eternal separation from God? I am so sorry to say to you all that I believe I've got some strong proof that many pastors are not even going to heaven themselves. And let me just quote one verse again, Jesus speaking, Mark 8:38, says this, whoever is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory with his Father and his holy angels. Well, let me conclude today by telling you a parable. I call it the tale of two preachers. You see, a couple of preachers are standing on the side of the road. They're looking at a burning building across the street. Both are looking at the top floor, and there's a party going on with lots and lots of people, but none of them have any idea that the building is on fire. So the first preacher says, you know what? I love those people so much, man. I don't want to risk upsetting them, and I sure don't want to interrupt their party. So I won't say anything about that fire. It's not my role anyway. Besides, if I mention the fire, they might be offended, and I don't want to miss out on the opportunity to speak into their lives. So the preacher says, man, I just love those people too much to tell them what God has to say about that fire. That's not what God has called me to do. I'm just going to keep on loving them and let God take care of the rest. In fact, I think I'm going to head over there right now and join them, see if I can't strike up a conversation. Now, the second preacher says, you know what? Man, I hate to interrupt their party. I really do. But I love those people too much not to tell them about the fire. I don't want to offend them, risk missing out on the opportunity to speak into their lives, but I got to let them know what God has to say about that fire. I got to do everything in my power to keep them from burning. I just love them too much not to. Now, understand, people, preachers claim to love Jesus. Both preachers claim to represent Jesus Christ. And both preachers claim to dearly love those people. But you tell me, which one? Which one? Oh God, watch over your word to perform it. And again today, cause the voice of your authority to be heard. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.